Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 24th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. You're right.
I'm fine now. I've
now you climbed the fence and escaped.
Well, that was the lovely Henry Ward who was.
You had a bit of a laugh down there, didn't you, at Squarries?
Well, it was all in the name of the Scoff and Quaff show, of course.
Oh yeah. You drank the four cases of sparkling wine purely in the interest of radio.
Rude not to.
It was, yeah.
Rude not to. But the trouble was, I didn't bank on staying a bit later than I perhaps should have, and being locked out.
Like midnight.
Being locked out.
Locked in.
Or in. Was I locked in or out?
You were locked in, weren't you?
Yeah. Then I had to go over this 5-bar gate.
As you do.
But a fabulous day, Paul Andrews. All the artisans were there.
Were they?
Yeah. I had a burger. I had lots of cocktails.
I bet you did.
I've got a whole list actually, and coffee and tea and cream teas and everything.
Blimey.
Oh, I had some lovely lamb, dried lamb, sort of, you know, air dried lamb.
That was all right, okay.
Nice. Almost like bush taco.
Was it dead, or did you just stumble on it while you were drunkenly wandering around a field and thought, I'll eat that? I haven't eaten for minutes. It's a lamb, I'll eat that.
No, it was a lovely little airbrushed, sort of a vacuum packed.
Oh, was it?
Bar lamb.
It wasn't alive then?
No.
Okay.
It was very, very nice.
Good.
And then on Saturday, I was at my Uncle Peter's 80th.
You were in Poole, weren't you?
And whatever you said, there were £20 million houses I
were
saw.
They?
Redknapp's.
On Sandbanks.
Wasn't it Redknapp's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry's place.
Yeah. Very, very nice houses, I must say.
Mm.
And the yachts. God, the yachts were like Russian yachts, you know?
Were they?
Russian air.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway, enough of that. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest and most effective way to get hold of us while we're on air is to tweet me at Vanilla Web. We have had quite a few tweets in already, and we've also had quite a few emails. Go on in.
And who might be the sponsor today?
The show sponsor is 166 Asbestos Surveyors.
Oh, I see.
And a massive thank you to them, guys. They are our sponsors for this week and for a number of weeks, and we thank them very much for their support.
And hopefully they've checked out the studio for signs of...
They've been all over it with a fine-tooth comb. They have indeed.
It's nice and safe.
Yeah. I think they need
not for long.
I think they need a bit more than a tooth comb.
Do you think? Yeah. No, these guys are professionals. Give them a comb and a piece of paper and they'll go all over it.
Well,
no worries.
Where you put the tracing paper over the top and
exactly,
you can play,
yeah.
play it.
Have you not seen it?
And they can play. Rubbing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that asbestos or not? You know,
this is lovely Kevin Moorhen chatting,
yeah,
a listener, in case you're wondering.
Good. I'll tell you what, you can start with an email, Jules.
So pleasant of you. I just want to say on the Twitter, just to annoy you, AK Pet Services, lovely good morning to you, and also Barbara Adams.
Somebody pinged. Somebody just pinged. Was that you?
It might be.
It was you.
Yeah.
You just pinged.
You know
you
what
pinged
it is?
Live on my radio show.
Well, while I'm reading this, Paul Andrews, we've had the lovely Dan Eels, who said he's emailed us. Have you seen his email?
No.
Okay, can you search your emails or not?
Not really.
All right, I'll do it. You know what he's like.
How are you going to search my emails?
Quite easily.
Where did he email me to? The bunker?
Well, he's put me and you, so I can search mine. Don't worry, I'm much more efficient. I'll do it when you play a song.
Yeah.
Because you know what they're like, these listeners. They do it at sort of midnight and expect us to sort of scan it all evening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a monthly Digi meeting. The programme is going to include SEO, Is It a Dark Art? This is an open forum. Twitter advertising, the lowdown. This is Josh Witten of Webscape Marketing. And he says, discover how to use this exciting new source of low-cost traffic and engagement. Can you make any more noise?
Shut up.
Honestly, reeling around ears, listener. Social media tips and tricks. Learn how to use social media from the experts. And there's also a digital clinic. Get your website reviewed or your specific... Oh, the aircon's gone off. That's much better. Very efficient. Specific questions answered by our experts come away with a master plan for improvement. And there's also informal networking. Now, this is this Thursday, 26th of June, at the fabulous Fruit Works. So, free beer.
Is there?
Free fruit.
Is there?
Might get a banana.
I think you're making that up as you go along, to be honest.
77 Stour Street. The price is £12. I might come to that Thursday evening.
I will. It's a good event.
You go on to www.kentbusinessevents.co.uk, listener.
Or you could probably find it on the fruitworks.co website, and there is an events page which is listed on Kent Business Radio website where you can book your tickets should you so wish.
Trez efficient.
And as always on the show, anything you hear today that has a web, Facebook or Twitter account associated with it, you will be able to find it on Kent Business Radio website, because we will update the website later. I want to tell you about One Last Dance.
Oh yeah.
One Last Dance. It's my new venture.
Okay.
I'm a film producer now.
Oh. Are you?
Yeah, a lost love reconnects an old man with his past, reigniting his passion for life in One Last Dance. One Last Dance is a short film starring Jonathan Pryce, Shane Atwoolley and Sarah Kesselman, with music by Orbital, directed by Luke Lucy, and it was written by Glenn Laker.
Sally for Cakes,
his old man.
Oh.
And Glenn wrote the film. And
well done, Glenn.
It's going to be shot on location in the lovely English seaside town of Herne Bay in October 2014.
And are you sort of the old man in it?
Or? I'm not in it.
Oh, I thought you said you were.
No, Jonathan Pryce is in it. Jonathan Pryce is the old man.
Remind me who Jonathan Pryce is.
Oh, Jonathan Pryce has been in absolutely
everything. I know the name. I can't think what he's in, though.
Pirates of the Caribbean, he was in. What's he been in recently? Loads of things.
Okay.
Loads of things. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of Penzance?
No, just Pirates of the Caribbean.
Anything else with pirates in that I might have seen?
Yeah, quite possibly, because he's been in almost everything.
Every pirate thing there is. Mm.
Didn't he also do one of your favourite characters? I think he played Fagin at one stage as well.
Well, I just have to look at you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Hold on.
I haven't finished my email yet. You interrupted me.
If you pause, one assumes you've stopped.
Yeah.
Carry on then.
I've lost the track completely now because you interrupted me. John, which is the name of the character, is played by Jonathan Pryce, whose dazzling stage and screen career combines the intensity of theatrical roles such as King Lear with cult film classics Brazil, Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and blockbuster films like Tomorrow Never Dies and Pirates of the Caribbean. There you go.
I've not seen any of those.
The filmmakers have turned to Kickstarter to raise funds needed to make the film and achieve the director's ambitious vision.
I'm going to go straight on to Love Film and watch them all tonight.
Yeah, Kickstarter campaign will go live on the 19th of June, and there's a target of 15 grand, and they need to reach that within 21 days. So if you'd like to support One Last Dance, there's a website which is onelastdance.co.uk. You can email them at hello@onelastdance. There's a Facebook page which, surprisingly, is called One Last Dance. And on the Kent Business Radio website for today's show, which is show number 179, there is a link to the Kickstarter page should you wish to donate any money to the making of the film. And you can donate money from as little as £1 upwards, and you get things in return for your donation. I think £4 gets you a copy of the movie and a signed photograph and stuff like that. And if you go onto the Kickstarter website, there's all kinds of goodies to be had by supporting the film. So do that.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my calendar.
No, you're giving up now.
So, no, not really. But Thursday the 26th is, it's the Kent Business tweet up. So that's 3Ws.
Adrian just tweeted saying that I need...
This is the interrupting show.
Yeah, I'm going to get my own back. Adrian just tweeted...
So catty.
Adrian just tweeted to say I need Alex of F Keys to sort my email out.
Don't we all?
Well, Alex of F Keys actually did sort my email out, which is why I'm really good at it. The only reason I can't see... Daniel's email is because I haven't looked.
I'll have a look in a minute. Mm-hmm. I probably need him as well, F Keys, because
you do. Everybody needs Alex from F Keys.
I've started. I'm getting so many, and I've got I think 4,000 in my inbox now, and it's just skimming them. It's not good enough. Yes, as I was saying before, rudely interrupted by Mr. Bunker, Beth Rossiter will be the presenter at the Lenleys tweet up. Talking about interior design for businesses and for homes. And so you can go on to www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk, follow them at Lenleys or at Kent Tweetups, and I will hopefully be there as well. But it's a good one. It's free business networking for Kent businesses. Paul Andrews.
Okay, we've had quite a few tweets, so I'm going to flash through a few of those. We've had Little Brown Fairy Cakes, who say, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please.
Did they say it in a squeaky voice?
They did, because they've put a huge photograph of a cake, which is really good, but doesn't work too well on the radio.
No, I've told you not to speak with your mouth full.
Yeah, but if you follow them, Little Brown Fair, F-A-I-R, Little Brown Fair, obviously they didn't have enough characters for Little Brown Fairy Cake, Little Brown Fair on the Twitter, you can find out, and that looks absolutely fabulous, the concoction they've made there.
I've just been on the Superior Show, a Scoff and Quaff at 11, I ate 3 fairy cakes. And
that's before she started.
2 ice creams and also sampled some flax oil, which was very nice.
What's flax oil?
It's full of omega-3s and 6s, and it's very good for you, and it's a non-dairy drink, and it was very nice. Look how perky I am.
Yeah.
Pinky's over there. that's been said before many a time. I've had a lot of followers, which I think are to do with our lovely Kevin. Do you know a Paul Sparfine? Paul, is he a friend?
I know who that is. That's his brother.
Is it? Is he really?
Yeah, we've had the Groove Wars. So we've got the band as well.
So we've got your mum, your dad, your aunt, and your brother.
No, Paul Moorhen has actually been on Channel Radio.
Yes, I remember, because Finding a Spa, was it?
Yeah, or, he was on Look Good, Feel Good with the lovely Leah and Tracy.
And it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Scruffy Chops. I must look into this man.
Is that another one of the Moran family, Scruffy Chops?
We've got quite a few things going, but yeah, I think that's one of his as well. Yeah.
And also the Groove Moors, that's your guys, is it?
Yeah, that's us as well.
Gosh.
Yeah. Come on,
Mum. yeah, do your stuff. Get in there.
I'm trying to get my kudos up.
Oh, so you do bands and all that. Oh, yeah. Fab. Oh, maybe you could do an acoustic for us here.
Yeah, we do. Actually, if you go onto YouTube and type in the Groove Moors, there's plenty of acoustic kind of videos and that sort of thing, yeah. So.
Yeah, I have to say they are a pretty decent band. And that's about the best you're going to get out of me for it. they played at my nephew's wedding, actually.
Did they? Mm.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was
Fraser's, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where was the venue?
We just said.
Fraser's.
Egerton. Between Egerton and Snowden.
He pronounces it just like me.
You've just made her day, Kevin, because she can't pronounce anywhere in Kent. Yeah. No, it's between Egerton and Snowden. Fraser's.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. I think the whole Chubbs and Kent family were down there, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Like Rotham, you see.
Rotham. Yeah. And Egerton.
Upper Chatham as well.
Yeah.
There's lots. Now, Telcare have just tweeted in and said, hello, Business Bunker. Can you please remind listener of the Kent B2B on the 8th of July, and we will be on stand 70. I will go, because they always give away a bottle of bubbly.
Blimey.
Yeah, I always go and perch there in hope.
So there's no point in anybody else getting anywhere near it, because you'll get a right hook. Whenever you get anywhere near that, she'll flatten you. She'll be there first, and elbows and all.
And lovely Dan Eel says, Eels, because there's
Daniel
two of
Eels.
Him.
Don't sorry, be rude to Alice.
He says, sorry, it was late. I got back to the office at 12:30, so I'm going to look on my emails now.
Daniel, you do not have to listen to Jules and her admonishments. She admonishes everybody. You just carry on doing what you're doing, and we'll find your email and give it a read later.
I'm having a look now already.
Yeah. Delkarji of Best in Tweets has tweeted us to say that they're listening in, as has Annette Bunn of BSK Kent. Oh, that's Business Support Kent.
You see, now you've made me look at Dan Eels. I've found his email, but now I've got proofs from the KM that I should be doing for a client.
Well, get on with it.
Now I've got into proofing adverts and things.
Well, you don't want to do that. Just read Dan's email now you found
it. Yeah, but supposing I'm late with the proof.
Just read Dan's email.
Okay.
You can't get the staff, can you?
Can't.
I don't know why we bother. I really don't.
Dear Jules and Paul, yesterday was a great day for us, as one of our apprentices was awarded highly commended in the small employer category. Does this mean he's little? What does that mean, small employer?
Yeah.
Does it mean he's short?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
Challenge.
It's the Oompa Loompa category. Yeah. Don't you know anything?
No, I don't. Must be new. I really must put my glasses on. We have glasses problems here, don't we, guys? Okay, because it's very small. In this year's Microsoft Apprentice of the Year Award at the House of Parliament. No, we jest not. This is very, very, very important. It's the Houses of Parliament, Paul Andrews.
It was.
And Dan says it was a great event that celebrated the achievements that Microsoft and their partners and training providers have achieved in improving the way people think about apprenticeships. and we got to meet a selection of MPs who are working hard to create new positions for apprentices and the Microsoft team dedicated to the Microsoft Get On scheme. And they even got to meet Michael van der Bell, who was there to meet the certificates, there to present the certificates. Who's Michael van der Bell?
Isn't he that guy that was a Dutch detective? Or maybe I'm confused.
Wasn't that Wallander?
He was Danish.
Tuck.
Do the accent.
Van der Valk, that's what I was thinking of.
Wasn't that a song? But went da 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 da.
Yeah, that was a theme tune. Yeah.
You hum the theme tune, I'll sing the theme tune.
Yeah.
This is a big deal for a company of our size, says Dan, who's the director of Oratech. And he says it was made even better with the knowledge that 50% of our workforce are apprentices, and we believe strongly in educating the next generation and will continue to offer apprenticeship schemes and work placements where possible. So that's fabulous. So thanks for sending us that, Dan, last night in your pyjamas. And I will put that in my business column in the Whitstable and Everything Times.
Fabulous. No, well done, guys.
Very
well, well done. Great achievement to have your apprentice win that award. And
yeah.
Well done.
I'm going to proof this KM ad now.
Yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
I'm going to play some tunage. Now, as you know, I normally try and pick something that's a bit relevant somewhere down the line, even in a cheesy way.
Well, there's nothing about asbestos.
But I just couldn't find any songs about asbestos.
Oh,
yes. I don't know why.
Mr. Postman, though, we could do, couldn't we? Postage.
No,
but asbestos is difficult.
Yeah, we got multiple
white
guests
stuff?
On.
It could be lung-related.
It could be?
Lung-related.
Oh. Yeah.
But what about...
Well,
what about white stuff?
No, well, I picked a track anyway, so you're gonna have to go with what I went with. So I just actually went with a bit of headbanging, really.
All right, what, to get the asbestos off the walls?
What?
You know, when you're chiselling it off with a mask on.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I just went with a bit of Quo, Burning Bridges. What do you reckon?
I don't think Kevin will approve.
We'll be right back. Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531-777.
Let's work it to the bone, 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 come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. That was a bit of Quo with a bit of Burning Bridges. Did you like that?
I'm not really sure where the asbestos came into it, frankly.
There was no asbestos-related thing in there at all.
Not even a ladder.
As I said to you before, I couldn't find anything related, so I just picked something headbanging.
I don't think that you really put your heart and soul into it for our guest.
Really?
Not really.
Okay. I don't care.
He bought me a coffee earlier on. Does that count?
Did he? Yeah, but that'll be on my slate.
Yeah, that'll be the day. we've had somebody tweeted in, trying to listen in from the US.
Clear your throat.
Yeah, and I'm trying to answer her, but I can't do everything at once. She wants to know how to get hold of us via the TuneIn app. So if you wouldn't mind tweeting her to search for Channel Radio or the Business Bunker, either will do.
Yeah, will do.
She can do it that way.
Okay.
Or just get a computer and listen on a website for the time being. Okay, cool. Look, we've had gazillions more tweets. We've got loads of emails. But in actual fact, I'd much rather talk to our first guest because he's far more interesting than any of that.
Okay.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. Kevin Moran.
Thank you. Moore.
Hen. I do that deliberately, don't I?
I know you do, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Kevin Moorhen. Kevin of 166 Asbestos Surveyors. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
His leg just fell off.
Sorry, his leg just fell off.
Yeah. It's pulled the events. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. There's so many things we could talk to you about, but I suppose we ought to stick to work to start with.
Yeah,
a bit of work first, and then we'll talk about some other stuff later.
No,
so tell us a little bit about your business, because as soon as you say what you do, asbestos. Everybody asks you the same question. It must get really boring. You say, "No, we don't do that. We do this."
No, I think the sort of questions that people ask are it's the worry.
Yeah.
You know, when the asbestos word comes up, they initially think, "Right, am I going to die?"
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah.
You know, we offer asbestos surveys, asbestos management plans.
Right.
We can get involved in removals, but I like to keep things. I don't like a conflict of interest.
Right.
So what I like to do is go and do the survey. We send the samples off to an independent lab.
Right.
You know, so if the independent lab says it is asbestos or no, it's not, that's the answer.
Right.
And if people want it removed, then we can advise and kind of guide from there. So
okay. Being completely ignorant about this kind of stuff, you do read lots of things about asbestos and what have you in the press. I never believe anything I read in the press, but there was a few years ago huge debates about different types of asbestos, brown asbestos and white asbestos.
Yeah.
Is there anything in that? Can you tell us anything about that?
I suppose there are three common types of asbestos. You know, you've got your white, your brown and your blue. You know,
blue? I didn't know about blue.
Yeah, it all comes down to fibre release and I put it in perspective, you know, asbestos was actually a good product, you know, at the time because it was a fire retardant, it was sound insulation, it was a lot of really good, it had such good properties. It's a natural product that they mined and then mixed with everything. Now, it was later on that they found that the fibres obviously got into the lung, caused the damage, and then all the horror stories you hear from there.
Right.
But, you know, that's kind of putting quite a bad spin on it. But at the end of the day, if the building was built before 1999, then it could potentially contain asbestos.
Right, okay. And before 1999.
Before 1999, yeah. And just because a building has asbestos, it doesn't mean it's not a deal breaker. You don't have to pull the building down. You don't have to get it removed. It essentially means you just have to manage it and just know what you're dealing with.
Okay, so let's make sure I've got this.
Yeah.
So you come along and you go, you've got an asbestos infestation.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something
yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
It's not necessary that you have to have it removed, is that right?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, and I think that's kind of people's perceptions. Maybe they shy away from it because they think, right, okay, we've got an asbestos roof or we've got whatever it may be, whatever the product may be, and they have to get it removed. And that's not the case. You know,
right.
That's not the HSE guidelines from a commercial point of view.
Hmm.
The HSE guidelines are to manage.
Right.
It's a risk assessment. It's like with everything else. You have a risk assessment, you have a fire risk assessment, you have to manage what you've got. If it's in poor condition and it's going to affect your workforce or there's going to be some health and safety issues, then yeah, of course you need to deal with it.
So being simplistic about this, and please slap me if I'm being far too simplistic.
I'd love to.
Yeah, I know you would. So if it was breaking up and stuff like that, that's when it becomes unstable. So
I'll give you an example. If you had a if you think about a house, you know, if you had a brown asbestos board up in your loft, you never go up in your loft. You know, okay, it's a dangerous material, but if you're not going to come in contact with it, then the risk is low. If you had that same board hovering over someone's desk, you know, at work, and it's friable, it's like a snowfall, do you sort of mean?
No, I get it.
Then obviously that's, the risk goes up quite dramatically. And it's just managing that risk. It's dealing with that risk. And that's what we try to give our customers and anyone that comes to us, the honest, open information. You know, this is what you've got, this is how to deal with it. It's as simple as that. There's another trend also where people are buying houses and they're getting asbestos surveys done, and then they're finding out how much the cost would be to remove the asbestos, and then obviously enter into negotiations with the seller. That has really taken off the past three months, possibly four months. Absolutely.
Again, I may not have got this entirely right because it's not my field at all. I mean, one of the main uses of, and reasons for using asbestos in years gone by is for its fire retardant properties. So it was quite an endemic building material because it's resistant to fire.
It's a great product. If you take the fact that it kills you, take that bit out of it.
Apart from that,
it's actually a really good product. Because it was so strong, it's it's fire retardant. It's the whole shebang. But you know, you're coming up to the age now. If they're putting it in the buildings in the 40s, 50s, 60s, predominantly. You know, it's going to, if it's been interfered with or damaged, then it's going to start to become more friable. And I think that's what, you know, obviously that's the concern. That's, it's just a management process. But, you know, what we try to do is not scaremonger people. We just try and give them the facts. We give them the risk assessment. You know, the HSC, from a commercial point of view, they have to have a management plan in place. If you have an asbestos ceiling and it falls down, what's your procedure? What do you do? What's the process? You know, because you don't want to spread the fibres out to everyone. So it sounds all kind of scaremongering, but it's not. It's quite a simple process. It's three or four steps. So it's
okay. You know. Have you any feel? I mean, I don't expect you, although you might, I don't expect you to have exact numbers, but is there a large percentage of properties that contain asbestos, or, you know, how's that kind of stack up?
It's a difficult one. I mean, pretty much, if a property is built before 1999, then it could contain asbestos.
So that recent, really, because that's not that long ago.
I mean, predominantly started, I mean, it's textured coating mainly in that kind of that kind of era, but we have found it in sort of 1996 properties, 1997. Never found a 1999 property that has it. How many buildings were built before 1999?
Quite a lot.
Can you answer that?
Until you interrupted, I was going to tell you the exact number to a 19 point decimal place, but it's gone clear out of my head now. You've interrupted me.
Kel Surprise.
Is there a start point as well? I mean, I don't know the history of asbestos, so, you know, is there...
They will look it up tonight.
I will. I'm going to become an asbestos
expert.
He'll
go home, he'll put his Winsiette pyjamas on, and he'll get his iPad out, and he'll look it up, and that'll be his whole evening.
About 11 o'clock, isn't it? No, the start point is kind of 1930s. If you think about a 1930s... Now, what a lot of people say is if it's a 1900s property house, they wouldn't have used it in the makeup and wouldn't use it... And that's absolutely right. That wasn't the building material of choice. However...
Was it lath and plaster?
Yeah, lath and plaster.
Wattle and daub in your case, but yeah.
So it's... If they built a house in 1900s or 1930s, you know, everything has a lifespan.
Formica. That would have been big in the 1930s. Formica. Or was that 60s?
Is it relevant to what we're talking about? No, it's not.
So I'm getting excited by all these
You're just throwing things out that you've heard of that they used to use to make things out
the
of.
The mini...
Yeah, patent, breeze box,
patent leather,
parquet floor,
plasterboard. So if a house was built in the 1930s and they've had a refit, you know, if they've had a refit in the 50s, 60s, with
Mary Quant
and Mary Poppins, and you know, it could contain asbestos. That's pretty much the bottom line, really. Yeah. So, but it's not a deal. What, you know, I don't try to scaremonger people. I think that's the I've been places where they have done that, and really, it is what it is. Mm. You want to know, and that's what I say to people: if you've got an asbestos ceiling, would you rather know than not know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you're going to change your lights or put your Christmas decorations up in it, or you know, whatever you do with ceilings.
So you come round and put people's lights up for them, their Christmas decorations. That's really good. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I always really struggle with the tree.
Yeah, what I do is my two-year-old, we dress as a little elf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I put the red suit on. Yeah.
Elf from safety.
Yeah, and they're putting him in for the little small person apprentice of the year award.
That would be lovely.
Yeah. It's great when it comes together, isn't it?
But again, you know, look at our Checker Trade feedback. You know, if you go to Checker Trade, you can do a search on us. We don't have any control over that feedback at all. It's what it is. It is what it is.
Right, okay.
And that's quite high on the score, so yeah.
Fabulous. It is an area of interest, and it is something that comes alive in the press every now and again. There
Absolutely.
Are stories and things like that where people, you know, raise it again as an issue. What I've liked about what you said is that you do make it sound much more manageable. You know, because as you quite rightly have emphasised a few times, there are too many people that scaremonger about it, and people can panic and go, oh my God, you know, it's that old,
you know, you take your car into a dealer, don't you? You know, and suddenly the service light's on. It's And I don't want to do that. You know, at the end of the day, you're standing there with someone who's got, you know, if they say, well, how much is it to remove? You can just see how much it is going to be to remove. But really, no, we can manage it. Yeah. You know, do we need to deal with it? We had a client quite recently that had a bought house in the loft that had asbestos, brown asbestos boardings throughout.
Right.
And they were going to do a loft conversion. I think the bill was about $5,000 to remove it.
Right.
Now, my answer was, well, do you need to remove it?
Mm.
You know, what are you losing the loft for? Mm. We're just going to store boxes up there.
Right.
Well, you don't need to spend $5,000.
Yeah, but you'd always know it was there lurking, wouldn't you?
This is why you don't do my PR.
Yeah.
you'd always...
Oh, I like it.
It's true. I would hate to be asleep knowing it was up there.
Hey, but look on the other side. See, I was going to ask Kevin if it kills wasps.
Why?
Because I've got loads of problems with wasps in my attic, and if I got asbestos up there, I could leave it up there and it would kill the wasps.
Remove the asbestos and take it to your house.
Yeah.
Do wasps have lungs?
I don't think they do they?
I don't think they do. I think they have antennae instead.
Anyway.
Well, like snails. to answer the question is, okay, it's lurking there, but it's not...
I wouldn't like that, you see. I wouldn't like lying in my little four poster knowing that it was crumbling up there trying to get me.
It's not going to get you, is it? It's been up there for 40-50 years.
But if you wanted to do a loft conversion, you'd have to remove it.
That's a different story, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do a loft conversion,
put your dormer window in.
But in all fairness, if you were going to do major building work, you've got to do major building work anyway, so presumably it's not going to add a huge amount to the cost because you're going to be dismantling something anyway.
You need it removed safely
and by a qualified person to remove it, which will add a few pounds to the process. But if you're going to knock your roof out in any case, you are going to knock your roof out.
And I think with that in mind as well, what we normally do is we get a phone call when someone has disturbed it or someone is halfway through a building project saying, we found a board, we don't know what it is. It should be the other way around. Get the the building's before 1999.
Yeah.
Get the asbestos survey done. Then you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Then you can budget for whatever you need to budget for. Yeah. You know.
You'd imagine it would be part of the planning process or whatever, wouldn't you? That said, you have to look at these things because there's all kinds of things that you have to do. No, I'm. Don't even get me started. My local council have really annoyed me. I'm trying to have an extension built. The government tell you they're going to make it all easier. Nice one, guys. Yeah, of course you are. Yeah, I submitted plans to extend my kitchen. Okay, my house is on its own. I have nobody around me. My nearest next door neighbour is over a mile away.
Who can blame them?
I've got fields on every direction, and my house is right in the middle of my grounds, and I've got a few acres of ground. And I want to extend my kitchen by like 8 feet. You know, I mean, is that really difficult? The funny thing is, having lost the plans once, so I'm now waiting 9 months for the plans to go through because council lost the plans the first time. They actually came back last week and said, sorry, you got to build it bigger.
It's mad, isn't it?
What do you mean? Sorry.
They've told me it's got to be bigger. The plans that I
saw... How much bigger was it?
2 metres. And they said it's got to be bigger to keep the roof line in a way that we like it. But to make it 2 metres bigger, I've now got to replace all of my drains. because that extra 2 meters covers every manhole from every drain coming out of my house.
So you're talking about a single story,
yeah, yeah.
2 meters out.
Yeah, 2 meters out into the garden. I'll add 2 meters out into the garden because I wanted it bigger.
That seems a bit odd because you're not in a conservation area, are you?
No.
Or you know, if you've got no neighbours.
Disturbing some ducks somewhere. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that?
Disturbing some ducks.
And yeah.
Moorhens.
I have got moorhens. I have actually got moorhens in my garden, Kevin, you'd be pleased to know, and I'll look after them. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. With an air gun, normally. No, of course I don't.
RSPCA, quickly. Yeah,
yeah. So I want to know about the uniform you wear. So when you go into these houses,
oh dear,
do you wear boots and things?
Yeah, just boots. It's part of the service. He just turns up in boots.
That's the other. We said we'd keep that quiet. No, if you're removing, if a company's removing asbestos, then yeah, they have to have the correct PPE.
But do you personally come in all the gear?
You know, be careful here, Kevin. You know where she's going.
It's a cul-de-sac. That's what we're walking into.
Yeah.
No, it depends where we are, what we're doing. You know, if we're doing a survey of a school, for example, then I won't put on the white overalls and the mask.
Because it's a bit spooky.
Yeah, that was on Inside Out. Do you see that on that programme, Inside Out? I did that in a Whitstable school, funny enough.
Really? Yeah. Oh, was that County Junior?
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, they had an asbestos team turn up and walk through the school with all the white gear on.
Okay.
Alien invasion.
For kids in school.
So yeah, if you were in a school, what would you wear?
Well, you just wear your, you know, the Peter.
It's Batman suit, obviously.
Mr. Tumble outfit.
But then you'd have to have a mask, wouldn't
you? Yeah, absolutely. But if you're taking samples, then you have to wear the, you know, RPE. You have to wear the correct
stuff.
The correct stuff. Mm-hmm. But then again, if we're taking samples in the school, then it wouldn't be in school time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It'd be weekend or out of hours, or you know, it wouldn't be 3 o'clock as everyone's kicking out. You know. Again, it's just working with the client, finding out what they want, if they just want samples. Or what, it depends what the project is. You know, we tailor each asbestos survey to, you know, because we want to hand a survey report, and if that's got to go to architects or go somewhere, it needs to be the final, you know, the final product.
Okay, send us a picture of you in your uniform, and then...
Kevin, I just need to tell you this. If Jewel books you this afternoon to come and have a look in her wardrobe, do not go. Do not go.
I'm sure I've got asbestos there.
If you do end up in her wardrobe, have a look for Billy Dean, yeah, and Christian, because they both went missing months ago in her wardrobe, okay? Just a little heads up. Kev, we could talk about this for ages, but sadly we run out of time.
Okay.
Give us a shout for your website and any of the details for how people may get hold of you and find out more about what you do.
Yeah, so the easiest place really is 166.co.uk, and that's spelt, so onesixtysix.co.uk. That's the best place to go. Our phone number is 0844 344 0510. The reason I hesitated is because we're moving offices next week.
Okay. Best thing is to stick with the website.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And we'll deal with what inquiry you've got and any questions you have. Yeah.
Fabulous. All the links to Kevin's website and, in fact, his Twitter handle and Facebook page and all that kind of stuff is on the Kent Business Radio website, and it will remain on there on today's show, 179. So if you want to follow up more on that, ask Kevin any questions, any technical questions, then please feel free to do that. Kevin, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Very informative, very useful, and I'm sure loads of people are going to have questions. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We had a tweet from Barbara Adams who says, great show, enjoyed listening to Kevin Moorhen, a truly fantastic forward-thinking business owner.
Barbara works for me.
Thought she seemed very familiar.
Barbara was a virtual assistant. Well, I think she is a virtual assistant. That's not what I say was. And she does a lot of work for me. And she's going to be coming into the office. We've moved. You know, we were working virtually. We've now moved into the office. But Barbara is an absolute gem. And, quite lucky that she works for me at the moment. So,
cool. Good. We've also had a tweet from KCFA Corporate Finance who said they're listening in and thoroughly enjoying the show. I don't know what's happening.
Lots of Twitter actually happening. Adrian and Leanne Corians. There's a free open day Saturday the 5th of July, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for 3 to 12-year-olds, Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to read another email while I sort my Twitter out?
Okay, yeah. You sort your stuff out. Kent Travel Management MD launches business book to mark 40th year of business. And this is Business Travel Management, and it's a game of smoke and mirrors, according to Nigel Colley, I'm not quite sure, MD of Sunways Business Travel Management in Longfield in Kent. And they're doing, he's done this to celebrate Sunways 40 years in business. And he's sharing, this is Nigel, his 30 years experience with his first book, The Self-Explanatory Tips to Create a Great Corporate Travel Policy. So you can find out about this. It's available on Amazon. And as a launch promotion, free copies can be downloaded for 24-hour period, 23rd of June, which was yesterday. Cool. So sorry about that.
We've had some far cleverer people than me tweet in now, and one Mr. Paul...
Not hard, is it?
One Mr. Paul Moorhen has said that every breath you take...
Oh,
yeah. Nice one, Paul. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah. Fail over here again. I'll tell you what I do, Paul. In future, I shall ring you for my playlist before I go on air.
Head of Pharmaceutical Care and Clinical Standards has been awarded the MBE for past services to dementia. And this is the Avanti Partnership. Congratulations to you all from the Business Bunker. They're leading providers of residential dementia care in Kent and South East London. And they're delighted to congratulate Mrs. Anne Child, who was awarded an MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honours List announced last week. And Anne joined Avanti in 2012 as Head of Pharmaceutical Care and Clinical Standards. And for more details on this, go to www.avantepartnership.org.uk.
Cool. We've got from F Keys. Can we have a mention, please, for Chris on the Twitter at CJVerbo, V-E-R-B-O, or website Verbo, V-E-R-B-O.co.uk for today's referral for the Microsoft Office training session at Solicitors. A big thank you. So that's a big shout out for Verbo.co.uk. Glenn Laker has tweeted in, huge thank you to you all on the Business Bunker show, especially Vanilla Web, who's nice, and Jill Serkin. Oh, no, it doesn't say
who
that.
Who says that?
For the shout out for One Last Dance, much appreciated. No, keep going, Glenn. We're really proud of what you're doing. It's fabulous for Kent, and it's fabulous for the film industry. And for the creative industries in Kent. Justin Dean of Creative Motion has tweeted in that they're listening to the show. And also Joe Sparshot, so proud of my colleague Aidan, that's the chap that won the Apprenticeship Award. Office is a bit cramped now as he's trying to fit his head through the door.
Oh, is that Dan Eel's apprentice? Because I've lost track.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. But this is from somebody called Joe Sparshot.
Yes, Joe would... okay. Joe Sparshot.
Yeah.
Is that her surname, Sparshot?
His.
His, okay.
J-O-E, I'm guessing.
You can't tell, can you?
No, you can't, but frankly. I'm guessing it's a he. And Sparshot, S-P-A-R-S-H-O-T-T.
Well, Kevin's, our Kevin here, his surveyor, has just volunteered to come and look at my wardrobe for me, Paul Andrews, to see if there's any asbestos in there.
Right.
Oh, you didn't listen. Did
no,
you?
I wasn't. I was doing this. I told you I was doing a Twitter.
Kevin's lovely surveyor has volunteered to come and look at my wardrobe and check out for any asbestos.
He must be desperate.
Yeah, he has.
He must be well desperate.
I think because he likes a beer. And you talked about champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got lots of beer.
Oh, I'll tell you what. He's gonna love beer, Kevin. And when we finally extricate him in about 9 months' time from Jules's wardrobe and stock of little male tradespeople that she hijacks in there, he could be a gibbering wreck by the time we get him out.
Does he like real like ale or does he like lager? Because I'll have to get some in.
I've never known Mark to drink the way I've never known anyone to drink what he drinks.
Really?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I've got lots of real ale. That's all right, or by the barrel.
Yeah, I love that. That's fine.
Maximising personal potential for success, making it happen. This is on Wednesday, the 13th of August, so this is a diary date for you. And this is from training@thefriars.co.uk. So that's 3Ws, training@thefriars.co.uk. Wednesday, 13th of August. Have you ever wondered what sets truly successful people apart and what gives one person the edge? Is it natural ability, circumstance, or just pure luck? Right time, right place. The truth is, more often than not, truly successful people have worked hard to cultivate the abilities, circumstances, and even the luck that leads to real achievement. So this one-day high-impact course looks at the steps to making success happen. It focuses on the key skills that successful people have mastered. So that's, again, Wednesday the 13th of August, training at thefriars.co.uk. Cool. Is the Friars Aylesford?
Aylesford Priory, yeah. Priory. We need to crack on because we've got lots of things to do, but I've had a question for Kevin from David Robinson of Carrison Commercial Estate Agents and Property Company, and he says, got a question for Kevin. Who is responsible for identifying asbestos in a multi-tenanted office building?
It's always the it's basically the landlord, isn't it? Landlord's responsibilities. That's how I understand it.
Yeah.
Whoever it's classed as a duty holder, so whoever's responsible for the maintenance and looking after that building.
Yeah. Right.
That's generally the way I understand. But then again, there are certain contracts that rule certain bits. The answer is to look at the contract.
Contract. Yeah.
But
sure.
My gut feeling is the landlord's responsibilities. So.
Yeah. Because it's interesting. I'm at this very moment trying to take over a new building in Canterbury, and the landlord is trying to write a lease that makes me responsible for maintenance.
Yeah, which means you're the duty holder.
I'm the duty holder. Absolutely. And funnily enough, Kevin, you will love this, I actually own the upstairs already, so I can look down on it, and I know exactly what's wrong with their roof, and it's got a dirty great hole in it, so I'm not going for that just at the moment. And there looks like there might be some asbestos hanging about there as well, so I might have to get you in to have a look at that.
I'll do that.
So that's the answer to your question, David. It kind of depends on the contract. Normally, it will be the landlord, but if the landlord's not responsible for building maintenance, it will be whoever took on that responsibility, I guess.
Did you read out Justin Dean's question from Kevin? He says, Dear Kevin, can asbestos lower the price of your home or business if you find out after you have it? After you purchase?
There's two sides of that, I think. The residential is where people seem to be taking money off the price of the property, using the scaremongering tactics a little bit. For a business, no, it's there, isn't it? So as long as you're managing it, my personal advice on that is not to hide anything. If someone's coming to purchase the house or look at your business in terms of saying, this is what we've done about it.
Yeah.
We've got a management plan in place, but this is where it is.
Yeah.
My feeling is not, no.
Yeah.
Good.
No,
cool.
Is the answer.
Cool, thank you for that. We need to crack on. I've got another bit of tunage, and when we come back from this, we're going to speak to our next two guests. Now, this is a bit more, relevant, I think.
Oh, is that you trying to enter the business?
You got it. You got it in one.
with the Business Bunker.
Oh, Adamant, stand and deliver. Bit cheesy, sorry guys. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show two Kent-based serial entrepreneurs, Martin and Hugh from Post and Packing. Guys, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about you guys and Post and Packing primarily, because that's what you're here to talk about, but I'm sure we'll throw in some of the other things you guys get up to, because you guys do loads and loads of different things, don't you, which is brilliant, and we love that.
Hi Paul.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Well, in effect, what we are is an independent postal retailer. It's more of a walk-in mail store for retail and business customers.
Okay.
In effect, that's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, we're the alternative post office, really.
Right.
So we have sort of three sides to the business, if you like. We have a shop where people can come in.
So you have a retail premises where I can physically walk up and walk in there and go, get a stamp.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
But in that shop, you can buy stamps, you can have a mailbox, you can have envelopes, boxes, shipping, courier, or anything you want to send, we can do internationally.
Okay.
The other side of it is that we have the business side, which we go around all the local businesses of that shop within an area, let's say Kings Hill, Tunbridge Wells, wherever the shop may be, and we will then pick up all of the mail for those local businesses. It could be a letter, could be a parcel, or packages, save their staff walking up to the post office, we collect for free.
Okay.
So we get all that back, and then we're post and do all the necessary.
So, let's kind of step through this. One of my businesses is doing business-to-business events, and one of the things we do is a mass mailing of tickets and stuff like that. So I've got 5,000 tickets I want to send out, and they're all in envelopes, and I've got them all there, and now I've got to sit there and stick stamps on them all, right?
Yeah.
So I can ring you guys and go, come and pick these up and post them for us.
Well, there's a couple of options to that. One, we could actually do that for you. You can have all the flyers, etc., delivered to us, and we would do the pick and pack. And the
so you put them in the envelopes and all that kind of stuff? Okay,
we put them in the envelopes, we can then frank it or stamp it or however you want it to go. If you've got the labels, we can stick the labels on and we can send it out that way. The other alternative is that you do all that work and we would, obviously it's got to be in a relative local area, but we would come over to you, pick the products up, do all the mail side of it and ship those out.
Okay, cool.
On the other side, we can actually have a team of people actually doing the drops as well.
Right.
So we have a team of people in here. We do a lot of magazine drops, paper drops, and everything like that.
So you actually do deliveries of something?
We do that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So depending on what it may be, it may be a case of doing a mail merge and sending it out that way, or it may be getting our team to actually door drop it to a specific area or social club or wherever you want it to go.
Okay.
So there's a whole range of services we can offer those local businesses, and the third string to our bow, if you like, is we do all the big sort of fulfillment side. So we got a lot of what I call small to medium to large companies who have all their products with us on racks ready to go in our storage facility, and we have a team of people that do all the pick, pack, and we ship.
Right.
So it's all done. A lot of eBay customers we have.
So right,
people
that
are selling eBay got a bit too big for the garage or the house. They put it all with us. We do everything else for them.
Wow. Okay. That's cool.
There's another part of this as well is that we do DX boxes. So if this list to,
So for those that don't know, that's a legal document exchange, isn't it?
Yeah. We do that. And also, if people are away abroad or wherever, or they're moving, we can have the mail sent to us. We can give them a PO box, or we can e-shop it, so we can forward it on for them.
Right, I've got another idea. I've got another one I want. Right. When I first started jobs in Kent 16 years ago or whatever, one of the first things I did in order to try and raise awareness is I wanted to post leaflets through people's doors saying, if you're looking for a job, look on Jobs in Kent, and stuff like that. And because there weren't many options, I dealt with Royal Mail on that, and it was extortionately expensive, but not here nor there. The fact is, one of the things that I wanted to do, though, was to identify by postcode the most likely demographic areas. Is that something that you guys can help with in any part of your
business? So for example, you can imagine a lot of our what we call our door drop customers, they want to actually say, well, look, we've got this type of product that we want to promote to a certain type of social demographics. So we can actually look at all that information and actually target those areas for them and say, well, if you want to drop, there are 20,000 within this area that would work, of which we can go into zones.
Okay, cool. So you go, you know, if you go to TN 20 yeah. whatever, yeah. you know, that's the best zone for that, and yeah. you'll get, you know, the biggest hit of, yeah. Okay, yeah, now I get that.
I think some of our biggest two areas for us is our shops are, I mean, we've just launched our second shop now, and that's increasing day by day. It's just going up and up and up with passing traffic. And we've also got all of our, what I call our eBay fulfillment customers. Right. That seems to be a very, very big thing at the moment.
Mm. Absolutely, and there's also other things like I can't remember what they're called. Etsy, is it Etsy? You come across?
Yeah, there is Etsy and Click. All those types of places.
Yeah,
I mean, it's becoming a very big sort of industry in its own right.
Absolutely, and it's one of the things that we kind of started to have a conversation about off air. You know, as people panic about the failure of high street retail, and all the politicians do what they normally do, which is run around like headless chickens going, oh, somebody must do something. I know, let's put taxes up, which yeah. seems to be about the answer to everything. But the fact is life is changing, as right. it does. It has a tendency to change. And although we're moving away from traditional retail to some extent, not fully, but to some extent, that slack has been taken up and surpassed, I think, in other things, you know. Mm. And you guys are proving that, you know. One of the things we said with Jobs in Kent again about employment profiles is retail jobs were going down the pan, but delivery driver jobs were going up. Yeah. White van drivers yeah. are in huge demand, amongst mm. other things, yeah. because that's how people acquire products now. They don't walk to the shop. The shop brings it to you.
Well, we do have that. I mean, for example, the one in Tunbridge Wells, we do pick up from shops.
Right.
There's a lot of shoe shops around, a lot of clothing mm. shops. We will go and pick the product up from them. Mm. Or we've had a lot of occasions where they're passing, going up to the post office, popped in and said, oh, God, I've got to spend another half an hour queuing up at the post office, whereby I can come into your shop and drop it off and you'll do it all for me.
Right.
Correct. That's what we do.
Absolutely. So, talking about your retail business, as it were, you've got shops in Kings Hill and Tunbridge Wells, is that right?
Yeah, well, basically we've had one running as a sort of a test, which we fell into, by the way, about 2 years now.
Hmm.
And we've just launched our second shop in Tunbridge Wells as a sort of a test point, because our plan is now that this test will run till September, and
right.
after September we are now going to launch 20 sites in Kent.
Wow, okay.
We've also got local government backing, and
right.
we have a meeting this week, don't we?
Mm-hmm, Thursday.
Yeah, we have a meeting this week with them to actually discuss how to actually move that forward.
Okay, so the potential is here, you could presumably move into a high street in most of Kent's larger towns, is that the idea?
Yeah, that actually is our plan.
All
have
right.
you read it all?
Cunning plan, guys,
yeah,
cunning
like
plan.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Does it involve a turnip?
Well, funny you should say that. No, that's our goal is actually to look at 20 shops in Kent and run that for 2 years. And once the 2 years is up, we need to then make a decision whether we want to go nationally or
yeah.
just keep it within the Kent area.
Fabulous. So, without giving too much away, because obviously it's a strategy that you're working on, and feel free to tell me and mind my own business. I mean, are you primarily looking for high street type premises or industrial estate? You know, is there a particular demographic that you're looking for?
Yeah, mind your own business.
Okay.
Don't you mean.
No, it's actually, You're quite right. We're looking at the mix of both, really.
Yeah.
You know, some places suit the yeah. high street, and some places suit more of an industrial sector. So, yeah, that's the way we're looking at it as well, to be honest.
I mean, the high street is great because it gives us a certain demographic that comes into our shops, and that's what we like.
Right.
And we pick up all the local businesses by doing the sort of the free service. We pick up all the mail, the boxes and everything else.
Mm.
The fulfilment side is growing extremely well for us, and actually we've won several accounts lately that has actually made us look at strategically sort of warehouse type facilities around Kent
to actually
do all the fulfilment side.
Right.
So it's as Martin said, it's a combination of the both works for us.
Okay. And sticking for the moment, we'll cover the other aspects in a minute, but there's a lot of interesting elements to your business. Sticking with the retail side of it, and because obviously you've got experimental plans to see how that works, which is great, and I love things like that. I love it when people try stuff. In fact, I posted a silly thing on my Facebook page yesterday that said something along the lines of, I've learnt so much from mistakes. I'm thinking of making a few more. not that I'm suggesting that's a mistake at all, but from your retail, let's call it your retail side of your business, are you still predominantly dealing with businesses, or do you have any kind of domestic things? I mean, can I walk in there with an envelope and go post that for us?
No, absolutely, you can. Yeah, and you can also buy the envelopes, the boxes, the bubble wrap, the packet, everything, the chips, whatever you want to do to, or how you want to pack your products.
Right. Okay.
In effect, we're, because now, you know, the post office is, or a part of the post office has been floated.
Yeah.
We're actually in competition with the post office.
Right, absolutely.
And from what we can see, we seem to be, in the places that we are, winning that competition.
Okay. Yeah.
And it is purely, you know, someone will come in for a book of stamps, or they may well come in for the packaging to pack their product, or they may bring their product in for us to pack for them.
Yeah.
We're trying to cater for all, really.
Okay, because until quite recently, a lot of the reason why people would go to a main post office or a post office outlet is because they want to, I don't know, renew their contacts or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, as more and more of that goes online, and, you know, I think some of it's due to fully go online fairly soon as well.
Yeah, September.
Yeah, so you can't do it any other way.
No.
The need for that kind of diminishes an awful lot. So people are now looking to use the kind of services you're offering specifically for those services rather than just being in there doing something else.
Mm.
Okay, cool. So as far as the other parts of that business, of post and packing business is concerned, the fulfillment and stuff like that, that traditionally is normally a more warehouse-based activity, right?
Yeah.
So I'm loath to ask this because you're going to just go mind your own business again. I'm just wondering what plans you have for that, how that side of your business is growing and what's happening there.
Well, we have, you're quite right. You see, the thing is that the mix here has to be within these three areas. You know, you've got what I call the consumer side, which is our shops, and we get a mixture of, you know, someone just coming in, as Martin was saying, for stamps and packaging, etc. But we also get a lot of the business people local to that shop coming and going, hey, great, let me set up an account and away we go.
Right.
And they will use very similar facilities.
Yeah.
Then we have the other side of it where we're actually storing, picking, packing. You're quite right, that's a bigger facility.
Mm.
But both of our operations, our shops at the moment, have that facility in the back or
upstairs. Right, okay.
But obviously, we are growing and we are now looking at the other shops. We're looking at 10 shops today, actually.
Right.
And we've actually got looking at a sort of a more of a strategic warehouse facility which can actually operate all of the fulfillment side in one place.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of have a hub, basically. Yeah.
Exactly.
But most of the shops can actually handle quite a bit of fulfillment themselves.
Mm. Right. Okay.
It's when we start getting into the much bigger, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100,000
big contracts, really. Yeah.
And it's exactly the same, you know, with regards to the shipping. You've got the standard normal postal service, you've got a tracked service, you've got a sign for service, or if it needs to be, we can do courier, or we can go up to pallet.
Right.
It doesn't matter the size of the weight of the product, we can ship it. And that's not just locally, i.e. UK, that's around the world. We can go anywhere you want.
Right. And now, so this is the next question. In terms of the shipping and delivery and stuff like that, are you using your vehicles and your modes of transport, or are you in partnership with somebody else, or how does that work?
We do to pick up, we use ours.
Right.
But as far as shipping out, we've got, you know, contacts with like your TNTs and other courier services that you wouldn't know, and some you would know, that do global deliveries.
Okay. So you're not, if I come and work for you, you're not going to give me a plane? It's basically what I was getting at.
Maybe in a couple of years.
Perhaps they're going to take over Manston.
I had a cunning plan brewing there.
I've got a little tuk-tuk on order.
Who would love that?
This started off as a joke over at King's Hill. Mm. We were pressing on, you know, what sort of vehicle we had, and we said, well, we're bringing in a tuk-tuk from India, and they were like,
with a little cat. Yeah, with a little cat we got.
They were all over it, and they absolutely loved it. So we sourced a couple of tuk-tuks, which we're still trying to get out of it. And the idea is that we will use them as promos to launch each
shop
running around the towns.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
But there was a serious side to that as well, in as much as we was going to use them to take them as a mobile post,
yep.
post office in effect.
Yep.
So, you know, elderly people that can't get out to us, we would go with
what
the
What a good idea.
We've got the stamps and everything else that on there,
yeah.
and we can take their mail and actually do it outside their front door. And
you see, I love that.
I
love things like that. You see, funny enough, just in a...
Especially if there's an onion bar, do you want
funny enough, I was talking. I visited a place I grew up a week or so ago.
Was that Ballstall?
Yeah. I went to a really good school, you know. It was approved. And I was saying that there was a fruit and veg shop in the village, and the lady that ran it used to have a van. And she used to drive around delivering fruit and veg. And that kind of thing is coming back now, yeah, because we've turned things on their head once again.
Mm. Yeah.
And things do go in cycles like that. You know, and it's part of the same syndrome that you guys have identified by what you're doing here, which is to say, you know, people don't come to the high street very often to buy things. They expect the high street to come to them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that is a fabulous idea, having a little tuk-tuk drive around places and flog stamps out of the back.
The one from James Bond, the one that does the wheelie.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. Oh, can I have a go? Yeah. Can I be a driver for you? A driver.
What about the canals?
What about the canals?
Well, little boats.
A kayak.
There's always one.
Yeah.
You've got the Thames, or the Thames. The River Thames, haven't you?
Do you know, that isn't something we've thought of, but we
have. Hey, come on, guys, get a grip.
And in fact, a little, what are they called, those sea cats, you nip over to France, couldn't you, and then you're right through.
Yeah. I have got a blow-up canoe.
We could try it. It's funny because obviously not only are we going to look at this little mobile side of things, but we've actually been asked by a village to actually partner with their local shop to actually put one of our mobile units in there.
Right.
So we're talking to them about them actually running it as well on our behalf.
Fabulous.
So it's like almost like a community post and packing shop in the local village.
And lots of pubs, of course. Yeah. Pubs are really struggling now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And need to.
It's really because, you know, the post office have pulled out of these little villages, so how on earth do they get to, you know, somewhere like, I don't know, use King's Hill as an example. Well, how do they get there?
Mm.
They can't.
Exactly.
So, you know, we need to go to them.
And it's absolutely. About time. Who has time?
Absolutely,
if you work 9 to 5, you haven't got time to go and get your parcel you've missed.
Well, that's one of the comments that are coming out from the shops that we do have, is that people that are passing us by and said, they're coming in and saying, oh, can I drop off all my letters and my parcels here? And we go, absolutely. Mm. Rather than walk all the way up to the post and then have to queue for half an hour in a line just to drop off your parcel. And the business ones all go on account anyway. They just drop and go.
Yeah.
You see, I've got a thank you letter that needs to go to Uncle Peter for 80th on Saturday. So if you could write that for me as well.
Sort it all out. Get one of the juniors on that one.
We got a box of crayons. Thank you, Uncle Peter. Love Jules.
I think you found a market there. Excellent.
Guys, that is brilliant. Give us a shout out for your website and how people contact you and where your stores currently are, and we'll look out for the new ones coming along in due course, obviously.
Okay. We currently have, two stores. One is in King's Hill and one is in Tunbridge Wells. The King's Hill phone number is 01732 840600, and Tunbridge Wells is 01892 759799.
Fabulous.
I think it's actually 739.
Oh, sorry, 739. Yeah,
changed it. Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously, if you want to look at the website, which is www.postandpackinguk.com.
Cool. Okay. And the links to all of that are on the Kent Business Radio website. So if people want to follow up, they can follow you. And you're on the Twitter and you're on Facebook and all those other things
as well.
Cool. So people can follow you all on that. Guys, that is really brilliant. I'm really, really made up by what you're doing. That's fabulous stuff. And it's just so good to hear two Kent entrepreneurs expanding their business and doing really exciting stuff. Do you want to give a little mention for some of the other things you're involved in, or are you not worried about at the moment?
Well, go on, Mark.
Well, I was going to say, let's concentrate on this one.
Okay, fine, that's not a problem. You can come.
We've got a number of businesses. This is our one that we really feel. And to be honest, we fell into this, and we've just thought, hang on, there's something here. And as we're rolling on, there's more and more interest.
And it's more Kent-based.
Kent-based. We have other companies like Scanbar, Wasp Technology, Orange Tree Marketing. So we've got a number of different companies that we also have.
Yeah. Jeep Finder.
Jeep Finder. Well, yeah.
What was the WASP one?
WASP is actually all to do with barcode. Software and barcode scanning.
Okay. And not sorting out his pull around his WASP.
Cool. I'll tell you what, we'll get you back another time to talk about all those other businesses.
Yeah,
which
would
be good.
Wonderful.
Yeah. For the moment, Hugh and Martin, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But Hugh and Martin from Post and Packing, fabulous. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
And you can see why the boys are going to be so successful, because the post office have been so blimmin' hopeless.
Yeah, it's like anything, isn't it? It requires innovation. And some, you know, people think about innovation as some kind of groundbreaking new invention, and it never normally is. It's just normally doing things that customers want is normally what it boils down to in reality, is going, you know, well, the customers are fed up with it being done like that. If we do it like this, the customers will come to us. And that's what really drives most innovation.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, exactly. It really isn't rocket science. And so many people get fooled by that, you know, business is very simple. If you deliver something that somebody wants in a way that they want it, they'll buy it from you. And you can apply that to almost everything. I wanted to mention this much anticipated charity awards launch in Kent. The Kent Charity Awards, a much anticipated new award scheme covering the whole of Kent, has been launched. The aim of the award is to showcase and reward the hard work and perseverance of charities, voluntary groups and their staff, all striving to make the lives of others better. Open to both small and large charities, whether a Kent branch of a national charity, a small community-based charity, voluntary group or fundraising group, the Kent Charity Awards are the first of their kind in the county and are set to become an important day in the third sector diary. The unique awards are sponsored by Furley Page, Kent County Council, Reeves Accountants, Medway Council, Mid-Kent College, Southern Water, Diggerland and the Kent Reliance Building Society. Enter the awards is a great way for good causes to gain exposure. If you think that your good cause deserves recognition, you can fill out an entry form at www.kentcharityawards.com. That's kentcharityawards.com, and we have put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you run a small charity, voluntary group or fundraising activity and you'd like some recognition, and I believe there are some prizes available too, why not get entering?
Why not indeed? And Liz Gilson keeps asking me for selfies. That's why you've got that great big selfie of me.
Oh, right.
On your screen.
Have I got to retweet it?
No, well, you don't have to. But
I've done it now. I scared the animals.
I was trying to win the selfie. There was a selfie competition at Squirries, and I was determined to win. So I tried to break into their bedroom. This is in their stately home. Tried to get up into their four-post bed. And
not in their wardrobe, you're not going to pop out of the wardrobe and go, hello!
But, well, I was trying to do a selfie, but they weren't having it. Good morning, this is Friars Aylesford. 25th of July, they have this fabulous outside performance, which I really fancy, actually, this. Romeo and Juliet, bring your own picnic, wine, etc., and enjoy this performance, they say. There is a phone number, I'm going to read it out, so get your pen. It's only £16, and it's 01622 717 272, and that's at the Friars Aylesford on the 25th of July, Romeo and Juliet outside performance.
Fabulous. We've had an email from Angela Ward. Hi Paul, hope you're well. Just to let you know that I'm leaving Marketing Eye on Friday the 27th of June and joining the charity CHIPS as a fundraiser covering Tunbridge Wells, Tunbridge and Sevenoaks. Thanks for all your help on the Business Bunker Show you've given us over the past 4 years, and we look forward to staying in touch both with the Marketing Eye and our new role. My replacement at the Marketing Eye is Anita Turland, and she will be in touch with you soon. With kind regards, and that's Angela Ward, Manager of PR Services over there at the Marketing Eye in Uckfield. Angela, thank you very much for that. We wish you much success in your new role, and I'm sure we'll continue to talk to the lovely folks at the Marketing Eye as well.
Yes, I'm sure we will. And the Dreamers are going to perform at Leeds Castle.
Not Freddie.
Well, I was wondering. I don't think it is.
You were made for me.
And you've got the Winkle Piggers.
Absolutely.
But you have to do that little frog dance, don't you, that you used to do. Is he still alive?
I have no idea.
He must be. Concert goers get the chance to see the Dreamers perform at this summer's open air classical concerts. It can't be. Leeds Castle on the 12th of July, and this is prior to the opening of the show. And in the year that commemorates the 100th anniversary of World War I, two young musicians from the band Virgin Soldiers have written a contemporary and inspiring musical drama called The Dreamers. 28-year-old James Beanie, who formed the up-and-coming six-piece band, composed the Strock Opera with 23-year-old fellow band member Gina Giorgio. And the Virgin Soldiers have supported Joan Armour Trading, Keane and McFly, and have amassed huge online support. So to find out more, go to www.heritage-events.co.uk, and they'll also present The Dreamers for the first time at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells in October, and there'll be four performances there. So that sounds exciting, even cool. without Freddie.
Fabulous. We've had a tweet in from a new listener, TW Services, over there in Tunbridge Wells. Thank you for listening in. It's an absolute pleasure to have you join us.
Wonder what they do.
I'm sure I could find out with a little bit of tinkering.
Networking hub event at Canterbury.
I will tell you what they do. TW Services are capable of processing 750,000 tons of waste per annum, is
Gosh.
What they do.
A bit like you, really.
Absolutely.
Networking Hub Centre at Canterbury Innovation Centre, Paul Andrews. Mm. Come and join our networking event on Wednesday, 25th of June. Is that manana? It is manana.
Yep.
11 a.m. to 1:30, and it's a free B2B networking event hosted by Basepoint in the Business Centre. So you've got Sean Riley, who's the speaker. He's head of marketing at Extra Digital. And he's going to talk about two methods of search marketing attracting customers. So you need to go on to Canterbury at basepoint.co.uk, which is an email, or www.basepoint.co.uk. And all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk anyway.
Fantastic. I was at the Ashford International Hotel yesterday, and I bumped in to the lovely Debbie Cameron and the lovely Sonia Wood. Debbie
should have gone to Specsavers.
I should have done, but it was worth bumping into those two lovely ladies. That's what passes for my social life. Debbie, for those of you that may remember, used to be the Kent branch manager of the Institute of Directors, and she's now head of fundraising for Fields of Life. And Sonia Wood is managing director of EcoSan, who are an eco washroom specialist company based in Ashford. And those two lively ladies are organising a charity ball on behalf of Fields of Life, and it's to raise money for clean water in East Africa.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm doing this from memory, so
because I had an email, I might be able to find it.
I'm doing it from memory, so just bear with me. I believe that the charity ball is due to take place on the 19th of July, Saturday the 19th of July. But as we get more details about that, we will mention it. So do look out. Do follow us on the Twitter, and you will find out more about that kind of stuff as we find out more about it ourselves. But just put it in your diary, 19th of July, you will be coming out with me.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Keeping cool is key to 30-year-old milestone for Kent firm. Kent Company Complete Cooling System is celebrating 30 years of trading success, helping stars such as Robbie Williams, Lily Allen, Kylie Minogue, Brian Ferry and Duran Duran and Paul Andrews keep their cool with their air conditioning, ventilation and heating systems. The Westmoreland firm has been preferred supplier for several world-famous recording studios, including Abbey Road, Townhouse and Olympic Studios. And other clients have included Sainsbury's, British Telecom, Guinness PLC and Ford Motor Company. So well done, guys. That's a 30-year milestone for Complete Cooling Systems in Westmarling.
Cool. Westmarling.
Westmarling.
Oh, I could kill her. I really could kill her.
If it was a mall, it would have a W in it, surely.
We argue about this all the time. We've had a cheeky little tweet from one of the DJs on Channel Radio.
Ah, plugging a show.
Yeah, it's Mikey T. He says, Party Anthem, show number 2, Channel Radio, 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday night with lots of cheesy mash.
Sounds good. When's it? Saturday night?
Saturday night, 9 to 11. I listened to the first one this Saturday night. It was cracking. It really was a cracking show. It's the nutty Mikey T. So do have a listen to that. If you can't catch it live, you can always on the listen again.
He's sort of like Kenny Everett on helium, isn't he?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Funnily enough, I got followed. Talking about that.
By Kenny Everett?
No, by Cleo Rocco.
You're joking.
I did not. I got followed by Cleo Rocco.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
The other day.
If I was a man, I'd elope with her.
When I say followed, I stalked her for ages and ages and ages, and she eventually replied, and she said sod off or something.
Well, you do know that David...
But, you know, that counts as being followed, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. You do know that at your age, you get what you can anyway, but you do know that David Essex tweets me quite frequently.
I did see that, actually. Yes. Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah. Did you give him my address?
Yeah.
Because that's what he wanted, wasn't it?
No, he didn't. Right. No, he wanted to ban you from his restaurant. Networking breakfast with business includes a full English, and this is the next one is Friday the 27th this week at the Mercure in Tunbridge Wells, Pembury. And then the next one will be Thursday the 10th at the Ramada Encore, Chatham Chatham. Get it? Encore.
Oh, very
Chatham,
good.
Chatham.
Oh, very good.
Friday the 1st is at Brands Hatch, and a rather prickly place. That's at the Thistle, Dartford. And chamber members are £15 plus VAT. So that's the networking breakfast with business.
Unbelievably, with only 4 minutes to go, we've had 147 more tweets. So I'll try and get through a couple of them. Sally Laker has said, "Oh, thank you so much for telling us about the charity awards. We will be having a look at that with the Kent Deaf Children Society. So good luck with that, Sally." It's and Louise Henley, who's the chair of the KDCS. It's a charity that does deserve to win things.
Have you got any more emails?
Yeah, I've got loads.
Come on, pass them over.
You do that one. But I'm going to read some of these first while you're doing that. The Kent Foundation has tweeted, "Any chance for a quick last-minute shout-out for Kudz Footwear?" That's K-U-D-Z, K-U-D-Z underscore footwear on the Twitter. Launching a designer shoe range through crowdfunding. And you can find out about them by going to kentonline.co.uk/kentbusinesses or go to the Kent Foundation Twitter account and look it up there. So that's at Kudz Footwear, K-U-D-Z underscore footwear. Stephen Jenner of the Gillingham Drama Society has tweeted in, and Adrian said, "Was that David from Essex?" Jules is from Essex.
No, well, I was, yeah, via Cairo and Rome.
Yeah.
No, I've said the David, I've answered him. Right, the firefighters race team. 2013 firefighter David Franks of Kent Fire and Rescue Service, because as you know, listen, I do like a man in a little fire when they go down the pole and all that. Based at Herne Bay Fire Station, began to dream. I do like a pole dancing fireman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Began to dream of building a track car with some friends to enjoy some racing fun at local Kent track events. And Dave was not new to the idea of buying a car and restoring it, having already rebuilt his own personal 1985 MK3 Mini. So the Firefighters Race Team Mini will be used in various fundraising activities, car shows, etc. If you want to find out more about this, go on to www.firefightersraceteam.com, which is their website, and they are on the Twitter, at FirefightersRT. Sounds good, that one.
Cool. We had a tweet from the lovely Rob Parker at Go Vicinity Creative to young Mr. Morin. And he says, "Kevin, hold on, I lost it. Check your website. Nicely designed. Good to see a trade business taking online presence seriously."
Yes.
Blimey. And
Rob knows a thing or two.
He knows his stuff, does that
he
boy?
He does, yeah. He's the one I always phone about midnight when I'm stuck with my website.
Yeah.
And I owe him about 10 beers. Nice from him. He also suggested a rude song as well about earlier on. I can't remember. What was it about? Asbestos or something? Yeah. Or packaging, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Said it had rude lyrics.
No, that was Minutes to Midnight, which has rude lyrics in it, yes.
Yeah. No, yes.
No, yes. Go on. Right, here it is. I know I saw another one. This is from Carrison's commercial property company. Post and Packing, great to hear your exciting expansion plans. I'd be delighted to help with commercial property and acquisition advice. And that's for David Robinson, who's managing director of Carrison's, the commercial property company.
Who was on our show?
He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. They're based over in Sevenoaks in West Kent. They cover West Kent. Okay. Yeah. You can do another email, Jules, while I'm looking through this lot.
Optum's Cycling for Sight. Tim will be back in the saddle from the 11th to the 15th of August, and this time he's riding the 315 or so miles between Chester and Richborough Castle near Sandwich, and the route is Watling Street Roman Road, and he's raising funds for Optometry Giving Sight.
That's easy for you to say.
Which is a worldwide charity dedicated to providing eye care and eyewear to the 670 million or so people in the world considered blind simply because they have no specs. Last year, with your generous help, he says, the team raised over £2,500, with the whole OC4S project raising almost £20,000. So you can go on to the 3w.justgiving.com/teamBowden2014 and you can donate. And that's Bowden and Lowe Opticians and Contact Lens Specialists. And they're in Watling Street, Gillingham. And their website is bowdenandlowe.com.
Fabulous. We've had a tweet from Telcare Limited, the telecoms provider over there on Rochester Medway City Estate, who say hello, and they're listening in. Thank you very much. Telcare actually provide all the communications for the channel radio here, and they are fabulous, fabulous people, and we love them to bits. So thank you for listening in, guys. I missed this email earlier, sorry, this tweet earlier from Daniel Eels that said Joe Sparshot. Do you remember Joe tweeted this earlier?
Yeah.
He is, in fact, the engineering manager at Auratech. Now you know.
I do.
Yeah.
I finished all my emails, no point looking at me.
I've got loads left.
Yeah, but I get on with the job, see?
Yeah.
It's called focus, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, Keith Mabbott has tweeted in and said he's listening in, as has Giraffe Dog. I think that's Keith Wilson, Giraffe Dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He did my website.
Did he? Okay. That's why he's latched onto that straight away. Cool. Good. So, hello, Keith, at Giraffe Dog, purveyor of nice websites, as approved by Rob Parker.
I think I met him on the Women in Business show the other Tuesday I was on.
Yes, yeah. He quite often co-presents it with Sean.
Yeah.
Yep. Who we got? The Fat Carrot. The lovely Jane has tweeted that she's listening in as well.
Oh, she's a fabulous vegetarian caterer.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And not at all fat, not at all orange. Not at all like a carrot to look at.
We started a bit of a trend as well. Kent Foundation said, thanks for the shout-out for Kids Footwear, and many thanks for mentioning the Kent Charity Awards. We may have a go at that. So a few third sector businesses out there that have sparked some interest, so do go in for it. Vintage plane rides at the War and Peace Revival. Brand new for 2014, visitors to the War and Peace Revival will be able to book thrilling trial lessons in a historic Tiger Moth biplane or a T6 Harvard, taking you along the Kent coast and the iconic White Cliffs, culminating in a flight over War and Peace, which happens at the Old Folkestone Racecourse in the summer. There's a whole lot more I'm going to read out about this, but you've got plenty of time, because the event doesn't happen until the 12th of July to the 20th of July, so we'll mention more about it in future weeks. If you want to find out about it now, you can go to their website, which is The War and Peace Revival. That's all one word, thewarandpeacerevival.co.uk. And at the Best Western Abbott's Barton Hotel in Canterbury, there's an evening dedicated to Neil Diamond.
Ah.
On Saturday the 26th of July, arrive from 7:30 p.m. You get a three-course dinner. It will be served by 8 o'clock, followed by the timeless favourites sung by Wayne Bridal until late. It's £27.50 a person, and you can book your tickets by emailing the tall one, that's the lovely Janice Watton, at info@abbotsbartonhotel.com. info@abbotsbartonhotel.com.
Fabulous chef there, the young Will Britton. Does a mean gluten-free chocolate brownie.
Mm. And do you know, we're at the end of the show.
We are.
It just leaves me to say a massive thank you to Martin and Hugh of Post and Packing, to Kevin Morin of 166 Asbestos Surveyors, to the lovely Jill Serkin, to all of you, the listeners out there. Do stay tuned to Channel Radio. Coming up soon is Kevin Cann at 3 o'clock and a whole host of other programmes. We will be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.